Welcome to Headlines. This is David Lichtenstein. This week, our guest will be Rabbi Michal Sirotzkin from Eretz Yisrael, and he will be discussing gene mutation, the BRCA gene, and breast cancer screening. Sadly, most of us know somebody who's had breast cancer, and unfortunately, I know any number of people who've died from it. And it's a frightening reality for most women today. There's 1 in 8 will at some point in their lives, statistically, get breast cancer. So we were going to discuss the halachic requirements for screening, etc. And in particular, we're going to be speaking about the BRCA gene. And the BRCA gene is something that was recently got a lot of attention. The actress Angelina Jolie did prophylactic surgery and had both hysterectomy as well as mastectomy, even though she was not ill. She had her breasts removed as well as her ovaries because she had the BRCA gene. Now, why is this relevant? Because Ashkenazi women are statistically one of the, one more susceptible to the BRCA gene than others. So we're going to be speaking about, is there a chiyuv lahalacha to screen? What happens if a sibling had it? Did the other siblings have to go for testing, etc.? So we have, and he's a world expert on it. He runs in Yerushalayim, the largest in Israel, breast screening things. A person at Tzaddik has saved many lives. Next week, our topic will be DNA and halacha. We will have Rabbi Asher Weiss speaking about DNA and halacha. And we will also have one of the Ramim in the Mir of Nissen Kaplan speaking about a potpourri of different topics. That should really be fascinating. You can listen to us on WMCA 570 or at WMCA.com or at NachumSiegel.com. And as always, you can email us questions at questions@headlinesbook.com. We are interested in getting topics from you, what you, my listeners, would like to hear. Because let's face it, this is a listener-centered program. So things that are of particular interest to you, please send it to us at questions@headlinesbook.com. Let's get on with our program. Okay. We have the honor of having with us on the air Reb Michal Sirotzkin. He's the Rosh Kol of Hadeya V'Hadibur. He's also the director of the Hala Institute in Yerushalayim, which was founded 17 years ago. He was the founder of the Hala Institute. It was founded 17 years ago. It's the largest breast cancer diagnostic institute in Eretz Yisrael. He's a renowned world expert on genetic testing. Welcome, Rav Sirotzkin.
Good evening to you.
Could you tell us, Rabbi Sirotzkin, a little bit about what the Hala Institute in Yerushalayim does? Because whereas some may be familiar with it, I haven't heard of it, quite honestly. It's not an area that I, thank goodness, would have heard of. But can you give us a little background? Because it sounds amazingly worthy, Institute.
Well, the Institute was founded around 17 years ago as a tzairich, which was a deficiency which was there in the Israeli medical arena, whereby the early diagnosis of breast cancer was very much neglected. And I put together a team of world-renowned experts, mainly in imaging, breast imaging experts, to really encounter this problem and to give a peace of mind under one roof, to have a comprehensive model whereby a woman, which otherwise, or in the alternate route, would have to go through 2 to 3 months to find out, to confirm and negate having breast cancer, and hereby in one visit at one clinic with many experts in many areas would give it a definitive diagnosis on the spot.
So can I ask you, Rabbi Sirotzkin, can you think of a story, does any story come to mind of like something that triggered you, somebody who went through some type of either a misdiagnosis or lack of diagnosis that triggered this?
I have a couple of stories, but the story that just happened not long ago, whereby I get a phone call from a Rav in one of the Hitnachluyot in Gush Etzion, and he is relating to me a story, a very much a touching story, which was a Thursday afternoon story, where the clinic is almost, we work from Sunday till Thursday, and tells me there is a girl out there, a 21-year-old girl, who was born after 9 years of parents did not have any children. She was one tween. Her brother was a soldier who was killed in Lebanon, and she's getting married the coming Sunday night. And she went Wednesday. She felt a lump. She went to a regular clinic in her area in Kupat Cholim, which is the local HMO. And the doctor made a mammogram. And obviously he wasn't an expert, and he didn't like what he saw. And he said, called the mother in, and he said, I strongly suspect it's malignant. And I think that, this is... this girl is going to have to go to through mastectomy, et cetera, and who knows if it's spreading, so on and so forth. The girl called her chosen. She was engaged. She was going to get married, and she says she's canceling the wedding, and she's not going to get married Sunday night. She doesn't want to bring upon her chosen to such a forthcoming future, which is unknown. And they asked us to please take the case. This was Thursday, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The clinic is finished around 5 o'clock in the afternoon. To make a long story short, we brought her across, and on the spot, two of our imaging experts negated having breast cancer by doing what we call the tomosynthesis, which is the latest modality, high-end technological modality with a three-dimensional ultrasound and clinical examination. And the doctors confirmed that this was something which, to the regular listener, maybe it won't mean anything, but it's fibroadenoma, which is benign and not malignant. And the girl went back and rescheduled the wedding for Sunday night after she posted in a Facebook page that this wedding is canceled.
What an amazing story.
So, amazing story. This is not only to confirm and not only to early diagnosis, but to negate. And in places, we know that, unfortunately, the false positive, which is when people get answers and they get scared because of the unknown, is not less important than early diagnosis or misdiagnosis, which unfortunately could be issue of atna.
So today we do have, genetically, we do have, real scientifically proven, you do this. But by the way, how many people have you tested in your laboratory in these 17 years? How many clients have you had?
Well, let's not call it a laboratory. And when you say you tested, I'm the founder.
How many have you? Okay. How many of you had the schuss of helping?
The clinic have seen to this date 175,000 women. It's on an inclining graph, whereby the first year we had 3,000 women visited, and this past year we had 17,921 women, of which we detected approximately 400 breast cancers, which is 10% of the total amount of breast cancer detected in Israel per annum.
So let me ask you a question. Given the fact that it's, scientifically been shown, medically been shown, that Ashkenazi women do have a predisposition to the BRCA gene, BRCA, BRCA1 and 2.
Okay. First of all, let me correct you. It's not only Ashkenazi women, but amongst the Sephardi population, the Iraqi women, the women that come from Iraq, not women that come from Egypt or from Morocco, from Algeria, from Tunisia, but women that come from Iraq, also are carriers of the BRCA1 and not the BRCA2 genetic mutation.
So would you say that, what is the halachic chiyuv? If a person knows that there is a chance that he has a gene that, gives them a predisposition to cancer, is there a chiyuv for, women when they're in their teens to go to get tested to know what, preventive measures they could do?
Okay. So let me give you first of all a little bit of statistical background before we go into the halacha issue. Amongst Jewish Ashkenazic women, today we know the latest statistics of the averages is 7.8 women out of each 1,000 women would encounter breast cancer throughout their lives. In other words, from... it's not always, but if I'll go into a hall And I one time spoke in front of 5,000 women, and I said, you know, amongst these 5,000 women, 12.5% or 13%, 125 out of every 1,000 will encounter breast cancer. They call it 1 in 8, 1 in 9, 1 in 7.5, and the numbers are keep on going up. So statistically, you know, any other cancer, you know, it's a much lower prevalence than breast cancer. And as far as the BRCA1, BRCA2, which has, you know, goes into the headlines every now and then, the statistic is that 2.5% out of 1,000 women, 25 women are carriers of BRCA1, BRCA2. So if we were to take 1,000 women, so throughout the lifetime, 125 will have will encounter breast cancer at some stage in their life. 25 women, which is 2.5%, will be carriers, of which 50% of them will have breast cancer. So, you know, if you make the statistic, the chances of a regular woman to have breast cancer throughout her life is 1 in 8, and the chances of a carrier to develop breast cancer throughout her life is 1 in 2.
Which is an astonishingly high number.
Astonishingly high number, and furthermore, it's not only breast cancer, but ovarian cancer as well.
And I understand that ovarian cancer, it's a chance of 1 in 4. So when you add the 1 in 4 to the 1 in 2, there's a 75% chance of a BRCA gene carrier ending
ovarian cancer
some type
is more than
cancer.
1 in 4. In essence, the latest statistic that the chance of a BRCA1, BRCA2 woman to develop ovarian cancer is somewhere between 60% to 80%.
Oh my goodness.
Three out of four women who are carriers will have ovarian cancer.
So if you add on those chances to the 1 in 2, it ends up
to... Well, two separate cancers is not really something you could have apples to oranges. But
statistically,
there are two different
cancers
which you have to... Exactly. Yeah. So the question is like this. The question is, there's a simple blood test, just regular blood test, which could pick up by 93% of women the chances of having the mutation.
So the question to you is, I ask you as a Rav, as a Reish Kail, and as a genetic expert, should teenage girls get blood tested for BRCA gene?
Definitely not. And let me just put down the pros versus the cons, okay? What is the myla? What is the advantage of picking up the BRCA1, BRCA2? Okay, if you conduct a test and you find out, I mean, don't forget, it's 2.5% of population. I'll screen 100 women, I'll get 2.5 women. 1,000, I'll get 25. Okay? The pros are mainly if a woman is a carrier. So what is she going to do? She's not going to be able to change the facts of life, but she will be able to watch herself
more
very
diligent.
Closely.
She'll be more diligent.
She's going to be very, very much, very diligent. She'll go ahead, and we have a protocol. There is a protocol of how to watch this woman. Those women are, instead of going, and the American Cancer Association says a normal woman should go to have a baseline test at the age of 35, and from the age of 40 to 50 to do it annually, and then for 50 to 74 to do it once every 2 years. If there's no problem, we're talking about pure screening, not a problematic woman. But, you know, the woman who is a carrier, now what is she going to do about it? She's going to go ahead, as far as breast cancer is concerned, she'll be screened very often. She'll go every 6 months, they have an ultrasound, and another every 6 months later she'll do an MRI, and so on and so forth, until if she's one of the two women that will, at the end of the day, have breast cancer, they'll find in a very early stage where it's 100% curable. The problem is that the cons are living in fear without really being in a position to change other than just picking up early diagnosis. So, you know, why don't you say just go ahead and have an early diagnosis anyhow without knowing the fact? That's number one. Number two, people that have that, some of them who are very, very unrested women and full with anxiety, they would go ahead and do some prophylactic surgeries, which is a very, very large issue and discussion. ethics in halacha and in ethics of going ahead and doing what they call, let's say, prophylactic bilateral mastectomy.
Yes, the famous American Angelina Jolie just did that. She did both, you know, hysterectomy and she did a mastectomy prophylactically.
Okay. So, you know, to go ahead and do a prophylactic test at the prophylactic surgery, I'm talking about right now strictly halacha. These many shilas, and one shila is isur chabala. Is a person allowed as a prophylactic? Again, we're not talking about a woman
chavala,
diagnosed.
I think chavala is a minor shila. If you could get a nose job, and liposuction, you could. It seems unreasonable to say.
I am naming the shilas, and you will decide the preferences of what is better or worse. But
I ask you, Rabbi Sarutskin, if somebody could get a nose job, can't they get a prophylactic surgery to avoid cancer?
Okay. I understand what you're saying. I'm saying it is an issue which is being addressed by Rabbanim. Yeah. You know, one of the shilas of Brother Rabbi Yashiv is that person, the doctor, went to ask a woman that came, she wants to do a bilateral mastectomy as a prophylactic method, and Rabbi Yashiv was not keen of her doing so just for being a carrier. And one of the issues was Chabalah. So I don't know if anybody went to Rabbi Yashiv ever to ask about a nose job. But this was an issue. The more serious shaila,
which is the most serious,
castration. So a woman who was diagnosed as being a carrier, a BRCA carrier, the shaila is the isiris by ish is the raisa by ish. Most places can hold it's the rabbanon. We have the famous goyan that the goyan says that isiris by isha is. And it's Issa the Raisa. And, you know, there's a B'syosef actually in Brings Rabbeinu Yerucham, in Arachayim, in Hucha Shabbos, and he says that the Dover Shein B'Sakone, now, even though Yochel Love Lidei Sakone, you're only allowed to Mechal Shavuz, which is the Rabbanan, but not the Raisa Issa. That is the Psak of Rabbeinu Yerucham, which is brought in Shin Chav Ches ben B'syosef. And according to the Goyen, that the Issa Sirus castration, Isha's the Raisa, how is one allowed to go ahead and do a prophylactic bilateral oophorectomy, which is removal of the ovaries, whereby the woman is going to go ahead and become a Soris, according to Allah? Other poiskim, you know, it's not so simple. Other poiskim hold, you know, in Yom Kippur, in Tafresh Yudches, the doctor, the Mishulchan Aruch says, if the doctor says that if you're not going to be Michael the Choyle in Yom Kippur, is Yichbad Olav HaChoyle V'Yistaken, so it's Machil in Oisoy. You give him to eat, even if it's a Sofek, if it's Yistaken, even at this moment he's not a Mesukan. Okay? So the question is, you know, is do we Pafkan Rabbeinu Yerucham Alocha, or is not Pafkan Rabbeinu Yerucham Alocha? I mean, a woman that is a carrier, and she's not called Chayla Sheyesh B'Sakana, but Chayla Sheyochol Lo Ve'Lidei Sakana. Is there a heter for Issa D'Oraisa? Another famous story with Rissol Salante with the cholera epidemic in Kovne, and the question was, you know, doctor said that you have to eat, and Rissol Salante, Al Tchashash Pikuach Nefesh, for everyone, made a Kiddush and ate on Yom Kippur, and everybody was a major, major debate and tumult around the Rabbanim and the Chachmei Hadoyer. If a bori, somebody who is not a chayle, and the sakone is not kayemis, it's just a question, shema tova yamachla, but not sakone kayemis, are you allowed to be matu in such a chashash to go ahead and be isu the raisa, the chayve krisis, the isu achila and shti and yom kippur? And so to hear, if a woman is not a carrier, put it this way, if a woman is not a carrier just to do an oophorectomy because she's nervous, maybe she's a carrier, so she doesn't want to find it.
She needs a psychologist.
She needs a psychologist, exactly, 100%. If a woman is...
If a woman is a BRCA gene and there's an 80% chance of her getting cancer, you're talking about a roiv already at this point.
Okay, so, you know, we also have a shaila, don't forget, of period erivia. I mean, many women would like to delay it, you know, because by having an oophorectomy, the woman is not going to be hemekaim period erivia. And therefore, in the most shittes, especially Shlomo Zalman, which was, you know, in earlier days, which wasn't that popular, but Abba Yashiv lately, came out with a PSAC that a woman who is a carrier, if she wants to go ahead and make a mastectomy is not a problem because there's no Shiloh Sears, it's just a question of a surgery. Like you said, Chabalah is certainly in the place where a woman is a carrier is not an issue. But if the Shiloh is a Shiloh Sears, it's castration. If a woman is indeed a carrier, she's one of those 2.5%, the consensus, I wouldn't say everyone, but the consensus among Poiskim, which is based on Rabbi Yashiv Psak and Avadia Yosef as well, that this woman is allowed to go ahead and do a nituach of oophorectomy, to remove the ovaries and to become a saris.
But certainly you're saying that the 2.5% is according to the Marsham, it's not even a miyachein in matzei.
Okay, so the question is where is percentage?
So I'm saying to do it.
Yeah, but the 2.5% to go ahead and screen the entire population.
You're saying it should not be done because the damage that it would do to people. I mean, a girl who
exactly.
did this
so,
and found
so,
that
so,
would
know,
destroy her chances of ever getting a shidduch would
you're
be
right. Right. The problem of the guidelines really are. If a woman comes from a family history.
Oh, that was going to be the next. Let me give you the question, okay?
Okay.
So I have a psak, and I imagine if you're saying it, and you're the expert in Eretz Yisrael, you've asked the shaylos to Gedolim and Rabbanim, you're saying certainly a woman should not go to be tested on this, because certainly when she's single, for heaven's sake, she won't do a shidduch, etc., because it's such a remote miyut, and the damage you would do is just look, we can go and a person can go get MRIs on their entire body and find every possible thing to go,
right.
They'll go crazy.
And you go into the shiloh, which we really, before we address the Brekka issue, you go into the shiloh of just going through a screening test,
Right.
As a person, a lot of go through screening. Are we going ahead and, the famous Shiloh screening versus the Pasuk in this week's Parsha, Tomim Tiyim Hashem Elokecha, where Rashi says, Yishalach imoy betmimus v'tetzapaloi v'loitachkar achar asidos. Are you allowed to go ahead and do any screening test? You're telling me the remote chance. A woman's lifetime chance is 12.5%. She should go ahead and be checked altogether. So really the psak is, and I think nobody that disagrees, that there is a chiyuv for every woman to go be checked regularly for early diagnosis of breast cancer. Magam, but the good news are that today with cutting-edge technology, if a woman follows the regulations, there's always a yoytze min haklal. But if a woman, I'm talking about a verfed tzibur, if a woman follows the regulation, the likelihood of early diagnosis saving a life, a woman be able to live to 120 gesundheit, is over 95%.
So wait, let me backtrack, Rabbi Sorotsky. So you're saying to test for the BRCA gene should not be done. So
the test for the BRCA gene is only recommended.
Let me just start. We'll get to that. But not to test for the. So what should they test? Like what is the what is
okay,
Rabbanim
so
say? You should
so
test.
Here,
give it.
So
give us the proceed. What do you suggest and what don't you suggest?
Okay, so here is what the halacha really goes in line with the Das HaRoifim, and the Das HaRoifim is as follows: that the first screening test for women. Should be done at the age of 35. Once a baseline, what they call a baseline mammogram, and if needed, ultrasound in the institution which I founded. Ultrasound is giving the screening modality, and not only in diagnostic or symptomatic women, and clinical examination by an expert. If everything is clean and green, of course, if a woman comes in with problem beforehand, if there's any reason to suspect anything is wrong beforehand, she goes to family doctor, so she will come at the age of 18 and 20 and 25. And unfortunately, there are many, I say many because we are a referral center, young girls are common to being diagnosed. And by the way, the earlier you diagnose, the earlier the age of diagnosis, usually the story, the prognosis is worse, So, but baseline, if a woman is asymptomatic, she should go at the age of 35 to do a baseline mammogram, and then from the age of 40 to 50, she should do an annual test. Again, this is pure screening. We're not talking about somebody that has a problem, which has to be seen immediately with no delays. And
so let me, Rabbi Sorotsky, let me ask you. So let me ask you a more difficult question, okay?
Okay.
You have a woman who has a family member. Her mother was diagnosed with the BRCA gene, or some other immediate sibling, etc., right? Now she's 16 years old. So here's the question. I come to you as the Rav, and it's a terrifying question. If she gets diagnosed with the BRCA gene at 15, it will severely impact her life in many ways going forward. I mean, we can all understand that, right? Rahman al-Islam, nobody should know from this. Okay. If, on the other hand, she doesn't get tested, it could severely impact her life. Okay. You are the expert in this. What does a sibling of a BRCA carrier do?
Okay, so first of all, let's put things in the right perspective. The reason why the mother or the sibling was diagnosed with or was tested for BRCA, obviously, since there is no mass screening for BRCA, so the reason why she was sent ab initio by a doctor to go ahead and do this test was due to the fact that there is either the mother was diagnosed at an early stage, or the sister or the mother was diagnosed at an early stage. You know, if a girl comes in and she's 37, and she was diagnosed with breast cancer, so one of the routines today in the medical community is to send her for BRCA test. Not everyone is interested in doing so, but they are sending them to BRCA test. I've spoken many years ago to Dr. Larry Norton, who is a world-leading authority in tumor biology in Sloan Kettering Memorial Hospital, and I asked him the question. He said to me that based on his multi-year, multi-center studies conducted in 60 places around the globe, any woman who's under the age of 40 was diagnosed with breast cancer should definitely, it's not an elective procedure, should go ahead and be tested. So this is the Das HaRefim, and I think most doctors would agree, always would find a doctor who's going to be a devil's advocate, but most, the Das HaRefim, in Halacha, we have a dean of Das HaRefim. Das HaRefim is definitely when there's a consensus amongst the medical community of most doctors believe that if a woman was diagnosed under 40, she should go ahead and be tested. Now, once she was tested, and, you know, and she had early age breast cancer, there is a much higher likelihood she doesn't fall anymore to the 2.5% of population, a much higher likelihood that she would be a carrier of the mutation of BRCA1, BRCA2. And now the question comes, is she mechuyev to tell her siblings? This is question number one. Does she have an obligation to go ahead and tell her siblings, which is a mother, a sister, and a daughter? And by the way, it's not only a daughter, but also a son. BRCA1 and BRCA2 has nothing to do with a female. The son could be a carrier, although he won't develop breast cancer, but he would be a carrier. And a carrier, there's a 50% chance of a descendant of somebody who is a carrier to have the mutation. They either get the genes from the father or from the mother. So if the mother is a carrier and she has four children, the odds are the two of them would be mutated and two won't, and it could be two sons and the two daughters are not. But if the woman was diagnosed as having a BRCA1, BRCA2, here is the big shaila, which is really a big debate among Rabbanim. And first, it was a big debate amongst doctors and experts and genetic experts worldwide. Do we go ahead and force the woman, or does the doctor or the lab, you know, they have right now a vital piece of information. You're dealing with confidentiality. You're dealing with the privacy of patient of a right over his own well-being. The question number one is she mechuyev al pi halacha to go ahead and be moidia her siblings that...
It should be Lo Samed Al Damrecha, you would imagine.
It should be Lo Samed Al Damrecha, but there is a famous Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein went to Rav Eliashiv and presented to him the Shaila, isn't there Lo Samed Al Damrecha from a woman to withhold information and not to tell her sister or mother or daughter that she has... So Rav Eliashiv really answered there is no Lo Samed Al Damrecha, being
the logic,
that he was Metzaref for three or four Svaris. Being that if the girl has, there's only a 50% chance that her sister would have, a 50% chance that a mother would have, and a 50% chance that a child will have. So there's no definitive. That's number one. Number two, if they have, the only thing you're really not all you're doing is making them more alert and having more extensive due diligence for their well-being in the future, which is not, you're not withholding knowledge of a chayle. Let's say you know somebody has cancer and you don't want to tell them about it. That's a really samad adam reicho. This is a question if the sibling or the descendant. So
can I ask you
parent,
a question, Rabbi Sarotsky? The Rambam Paskins and Rambam Paskins and Gemara, Misha Shemeya, somebody hears on somebody, list him, boy in a love, right? He hears that they're plotting against him to kill him.
Right.
Now, maybe they'll kill him, and maybe they won't kill him. Maybe they'll change their mind. Maybe he'll run away. Maybe his horse will be faster than their horse. According to this psak of Rebbe Yashiv, unless you know that it's 100% sure that they are going to kill him, there's no din of Lysamid anymore because it's a suffix. Maybe they'll come, maybe they won't come. Maybe they'll be successful, maybe they won't be successful. I have a Rambam there's a problem with this.
Okay. The only thing that I may answer you, that somebody that has listing boim all of will not be go ahead and call the Shatchanim, is there a problem with the Shidduch crisis with somebody that may have listing boim olav?
But it's still Lysamid. The Rambam still identifies a suffix as a Lysamid.
Well, it's a big shaila. Again, it's a big shaila. You're running into statistics and you're running in also to numbers. And the question is, what is the likelihood that the girl who will not know about it will actually die? Okay, do we talk about, because by nefashis you don't go basarayv. There is no halacha of elchim b'rayv achar nefashis. And
that's only lakula, not lachumra.
Right, but
and now
again,
we're talking about
the question is you're running into imtim tzolema and imtim tzolema and imtim tzolema. In other words, it's not a definitive. We know that there's a 50% chance that the sibling will or will not have the mutation. Even if they have the mutation, there is no definitive that will develop breast. There's a 50% chance. Well, let me ask you a question, being that you have your Rambam. Every woman has a 12.5% chance. So this woman will have 50% chance.
So there's halachas about that, right?
Okay.
Up
so the
to
question
10%
is, what
chance.
Is, what are the numbers? Where do we have the Marsham that you mentioned before? And the question is, when you do compounded average, of blended average of all the statistics and the genetics together, you arrive to a psak of Rabbi Yashiv the hell that A, being that it's only a suffix if they have B, even if there's a suffix, it's only a suffix that they will develop, and even without it, they have a 1 in 8 chance. So there's 1 in 2 chance, not a 1 in 8 chance. So you're increasing by double 4 times as much statistically as you will have. And number 3, why don't you? Rabbi Yashiv says, why don't you? If she wants to protect, why don't you go ahead and make this? You're not mechuyev to tell the sister that. The question is here, is the woman mechuyev to expose her personal mutated gene to others? She wants to protect her privacy. And
I understand that, but so let's look at that issue. A person wants to protect their privacy, which we can understand, but on a lav, a person is mechuyev kol mamayinai. Right, more than chaimish,
right,
and even more than that, even an aver is supposed to give up. So,
okay, so the
a person's
is,
respect
so
for their
the
privacy
real,
is not more than all.
I hear very well, but ipso facto, the question really is right now: is a knowledge or is going to, make a test will save somebody's life? Yes.
Okay. So
it's possible statistically that by having the knowledge and by sending the person to do the test, that test will, in essence, really save their life. Because if they do know about it, if they don't know about it, there may be negligence, they may be just not go, they might be screened, and then by the time they're being diagnosed, it's too late in the game, and they're lost. It's a big shaila.
So Rabbi Yashiv said there is no obligation.
If the woman refuses to tell.
So there's no obligation.
There's no obligation to tell her sibling that.
And the doctor would have no right to either, did he say?
And the doctor would have no right.
Wow. Right. Let's take it a step. Now, let's say the woman did disclose it.
Okay.
Right? Now, this girl is 15. Does she have a halachic obligation to get tested knowing that she has a sibling who had the BRCA?
Does the girl herself have obligation?
What did the Paiskim say about that?
Well, they say that, and the question is another question.
And how does the medical community look at it?
Let me take it a step further. Here's a Shaila that came. Somebody I know, somebody went to Ezra B'chaim Kanievsky, who's really not, doesn't really mix himself into halach. We always say, Nafgein Fregen Arov. But somebody came to ask a question, is a girl that is a carrier of Breka 1, the Shaila that I happened to be there asking Reb Chaim the Shaila, and somebody is a Breka 1, a carrier, and she's going to do a Shidduch. And she's definitely...
Does she have to disclose it? Wow.
Does she have to right now reveal it? Is it called a mum, or it's not called a mum? And he said, "Ich bin nicht kirov, ich bin nicht kim poisek, aber mir darf nicht als eizogen."
Oh my goodness!
Okay, so you know, if a girl does not, you know, so you're running into very, very delicate issues of, and again, is a parent responsible? The girl is, you know, you're talking about pure halacha. I'm not talking about now ethically, morally, or responsibility, yeah. Parenthood. You know, the girl is a gdeila, and al pi halacha, you're not mechuyev to go a gdeila. Again, you're going back to the shailu leisamid al dam reecho.
Right.
But if the girl is a gdeila, is the girl mechuyev? I mean, she doesn't have das. A 13-year-old, 14-year-old girl, what does she know, you know?
Right.
Again, let me just wrap it up so we have some clarity, because there's a lot of issues on the table, okay? When somebody is not a chayla, and somebody was not diagnosed, okay, in his regular screening population, it's 100%. There's an agreement. And by the way, it's an agreement amongst
medical doctors too.
Among medical community as well as Roiv Rabbonim, or most Rabbonim, there is no Chiyuv, and actually it's not recommended to go ahead and screen the entire population.
It's unwise too.
To go ahead and for the 2.5% life chance that you are one of them, to go ahead and screen an entire population for this genetic mutation. That's number one. Now, if somebody got sick, so if somebody got sick at the age of 55, 60, which is 1 in 8 women will get it sometime during lifetime, there's also no clear-cut recommendation. You know, today the insurance companies pay for it, and in Eretz Yisrael, the Kupat Cholim pays for the test. So they go ahead and say, anybody have it, just go ahead and do genetically testing. But if a woman is 55 years old, really, there is no greater evidence that she should be a carrier than the rest of the population. She runs in to the only shaila comes in, really, in two instances. A, when a woman is diagnosed at a very early stage. B, when a woman is, there's a family history, and is also a shaila, sai in refu and sai in halacha, what does medical history mean? Does it mean two, or does it mean three? Two in the same mishpacha, which means two sisters, a mother and a daughter, or some people go even according to grandmother, you know, include the aunt or a grandmother, either two or three, which you see a family history. You know, it's very interesting, because you could find a family with, you know, a mother and a daughter and an aunt and a grandmother, and when you do the Breka 1, Breka 2, it comes back negative. So there's a sporadic, you know, non-related, or the doctors really, the expert, think that there is some kind of mutation we don't know about yet, because we don't know about everything. In that case, it is recommended to go ahead and check. The woman herself had breast cancer. She go ahead and being checked, al pi halacha, she's mechuyev to do so. If she had an early stage, and if there are two or three in the family, it's also recommended. Running in right now and checking siblings, I mean, in the normal families, the minhag is once a woman is diagnosed with BRCA 1, BRCA 2, the relatives around her are familiar with it. The woman does not keep it for a secret, and their siblings and their children do go ahead and, you know, and get tested.
Which is very frightening. For what it does for their shidduch options, etc., isn't it?
Of course it's frightening. But you know, once it becomes industry standard, and once the oilam knows about it, and ein bayis hashem boy meis, you know, it's relatively, the more knowledge and the more awareness and the more compliance there is, it becomes less of you know, we don't know anything. I always say, over the story with Mayor Simcha, somebody came over to him and he said, Simchis Yortzeit was this week. Somebody came over to him and asked him, says Rebbe, Malachamovitz came to me in a dream, and he told me that in 48 hours he's taking away my neshama. And I thought, hey, it's a dream, but 7 times during the night I went to sleep again, it came back again, and I'm petrified. So Meir Simcha told him, you know, the Bista Groysen Nar, he says, Du os chosha garantia, as a 48 shah, he chod os eichet nis. He says, you have a guarantee you're going to live for the next 48 hours. I don't have it. So we don't know. You know, there's different issues.
I understand. And, so, let me,
and you know, let me tell you something else, and it's another topic. I mean, the time is limited, and I understand that we have to wrap it up. But, you know, furthermore, you know, if a doctor knows we're talking about a refuah, but again, if a doctor knows definitely that there is a checked medication that will be able to cure the person b'makom sakon, and the person is not interested in doing so. A woman that have, I mean, we have the shaila many times, a woman doesn't want to do anything about it. And the doctor knows that the woman, if she will not go through surgery, her life, I mean, she's not going to make it. The prognosis is poor. And as they go by, you know, they get lymph node involvement, and then it spread, metastasizes anywhere to far, you know, not in near proximity, and so on and so forth. And the patient refuses to go through the test. So, you know, these Tesefteen Shkolim, that says, Moshel Echot Sha'olo Maka Beraglo Voya Arife Koifso Yumchatech Bivsori Bishvil Rapaisen, it's Gepaskat, you are the Rambam man, says Gepaskin the Rambam Chosmamrim, that you Koifer, a person, a doctor, could really force a person to be matzal him. You know, and these, the Yavetz in Moravik Tzia comes out, and he says the doctor has, like, and this is a question we have every day with chemotherapy, a doctor that has a refuah and the person doesn't want to take chemo. And I want to go into the issue of chemo because it's a compounded and a very large subject, which deserves its own discussion. But he says that the doctor who is not doing so, and not only a doctor, anybody, a family member, is over on the law of Lysamed Adam Reacha, which is not totally in Dasa Chayla.
Right.
It's not the Moshe has a whole tshuva about it.
If somebody's trying to commit suicide, you save him against his will, right?
Again. And Ramesha says if the person doesn't want to do it, and they cut and paste this Ramesha's psak also not only to refus, but to procedures as well, and to tests as well. If the person knows that it really is helpful, but he doesn't want to do it because his Ramesha calls it yush, or tsar, and so what we really nem on, we have to take on, our working assumption has to be that he doesn't want to be mitzayer. He really believes the reifim and the dasa reifim to be merapahim, but as a Moshe, it's a maise shtus, and it's a maise tinoikos, and you must force him to do so.
Wow.
So this is the, but Moshe says that if the person really says it's going to harm me, and I don't believe the doctors, and they're just faking, you have to look for a doctor till somebody will convince and put some sense in his head to know that this is something which is a must and Hatzalos Nefashis story.
Rabbi Saratsky, this is one of the most fascinating. We've had just the biggest Rabbanim and Rosh Hashivas of all over the world on it. Honestly, this is one of the most fascinating we've had, because not only is it about halacha, but it's also about, you know, really relevant to, you know, it's not obtuse. It's very practical. And it's amazing to have a Rosh Kollel who not only has Tiras Emes, but Tiras Chesed. I mean, the amount of lives that you've had the hands in saving is probably immense.
100%. I fully agree with it that the Inyan of Refuah, especially dealing with such matters, is the Inyan of Atzolos Nefashis. And we know Chazal say, Kol HaMekayim Nefesh Achas Meyisroel Ki Ilukim Oyel HaMole. You know, I always say over the joke, my grandfather, Reb Zalman Sarotskin, the Lutzker Rav, the Mechaber of Znaim LaToyer, was a very wise man. In 1956, a doctor came from New York and he showed him a clip from New York Times where it says there that 25,000 researchers are working on a cure for cancer. This is back 1956, nearly 60 years ago. And he showed him the articles. My grandfather left and he says, Echob Moiraz Mer mentioned Leben from them, from Starben from them. He says, I'm afraid more people make a living out of it than die from it. You know, the issue is that we are, you know, unfortunately, this is a lethal disease, and unfortunately, you know, there's no cure. I mean, the only cure is really early diagnosis, and the only clue is going to be checked. And we know that in line with the Das HaRefim, the consensus among most Poiskim, I could say almost all Poiskim, is there's no problem of Titomim Tim Hashem Alekecho. There's no problem, any other problem of going ahead and being screened, you know, and going ahead and being checked. We know that and the good news is that by doing so and by complying and by going and by being checked and not covering up, we could come to a matzev that we are giving kim'at, I don't want to say 100%, but a vast majority of women that would go and check themselves on time are going to be saved and being diagnosed early enough so that Tzolus Nefashis is really, really there.
Well, thank you very much. It's really been an honor, and I personally will make Belinade the contribution to the incredible cause. And it's been an honor to have not only a Talmud Chacham and a Goyen and also a Tzaddik and a Tzolus Nefashis, but a Meyuchas. It's been a special honor to have you on. Thank you so much for joining our program.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, Will, that was really one of the most fascinating people we've had on since we've had the show. And I'd like to just do a brief recap of the topics that he discussed. He said that clearly, both medically and halachically, somebody should not be tested for the BRCA gene at random. It could really do a lot of damage. So he said, halachically, do not do it. Now, the more complex question is if somebody has it, like that, you know, somebody has a cancer occurrence and it's been discovered that they do have the BRCA gene, what is their responsibility to tell others? And he says, Reb Elyashiv held that there would be no din of Leisamed El Damriecha and there is no obligation, but he said other Paiskim would disagree and that there would be an obligation. And he said, in fact, that most, you know, in his opinion, he said the consensus is yes to, because you're to inform the other people, because you are potentially given. And here's the statistic. People who have the BRCA gene have a 1 in 50% chance of getting cancer in their lives, of a breast cancer, and they have a 3 in 4 chance, a 75% chance of getting of getting ovarian cancer in their lives. So I'm not a mathematician, but if you combine the two odds, it's an 87.5% chance of contracting cancer. It certainly would seem to me that not informing the sibling, et cetera, child, et cetera, does not see, you know, you're preventing them from taking any preventative measures and being on the lookout. I you know, Reb Chaim Elyashiv was the gadol hador, but it's certainly an interesting psak. Now, what we do want to discuss is he said, what would be the halacha of somebody who's was informed? Would they have to tell a prospective shidduch? And he said, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, you know, wasn't sure about it. And it's certainly a topic that I asked Reb David Cohen this question, and he flat out, he says, I just can't paskin that question. It has to be done on an individual basis. We can understand why. Nobody should ever be geproofed with it. It's just a horrible reality. But it's certainly, I mean, it's a topic for itself. If somebody has an outstandingly difficult situation like that, they should certainly, there's a question for a gadol hador. So those were the questions. Now, I would like to close this week by talking a little bit about this week's parsha, and talk about shayftim v'shaytrim titen lecha b'chol sharecha, the concept of authority. As Americans, you know, we all have problems with authority, you know, Teddy Roosevelt, you know, self-reliance, you know, individualism, rugged individualism. But this week's parasha talks about shayftim v'shaytrim. So here's an interesting question. The Kedushas Levi asks, he says, it says that at the end of time, right, Tishbi, Teiku stands for Tishbi Yataritz, Elio, when he will come, will be Mataritz all the questions. So the Kedushas Levi asks a very interesting question. He says, Eliyahu? What do we need Eliyahu for? He says, Moshe is going to come. And Moshe Reya Mehemna, Moshe's Aviyah Nevi'im. What do we need Eliyahu to answer the questions? So the great prophet Moses, the lawgiver, right? So the Kedushas Levi says, you know why? because Moshe wasn't there. He says Eliyahu will be there throughout that entire period. Eliyahu is the Malach HaBris. Eliyahu, like, you know, Olab, you know, Shemaima, Sara, Shemaima, he never dies. So he's with us. He says the person who is the Shofet, the judge has to live with us. He has to be here because the issues we have today are so very different than the issues our forefathers faced. And many of them wouldn't really be able to relate to the type of questions that people have today, the type of nisyonos. Go try to explain to somebody just a number of years ago what a handheld device can conjure up to a teenage child. Right, I mean, the amount of accessibility what a child today could see at 14, their grandparents didn't see in a full life of living in the bedwars of Paris. So it's really very difficult for a judge from a different generation to really understand, you know, the, so he says, Moshe wasn't there. So now why is that relevant to our parsha? Because our parsha says, when it talks about the Shoftim, it says, Uvasal hakehanim v'levim v'lashofet asher yia b'yamim ahem. And Chazal say, when you go to the prophet, the judge, the priest that's in your day, so Chazal darshin, the one from your day, yiftach b'derek ishmol b'der, you have to look at the current leader. The current leader understands your situation much better than somebody from generations before. You know, there's a story in the Gemara. The Gemara says, when Rebbe died, batla hanava. So Reb Nachman said, except for me. He said, I am a great, humble person. Right? You know, tongue in cheek. Dan Quayle, when running for president, was thundering, and I am humble. Which sounds a little bit ironic. Why, when we talk about humbleness, how does somebody get up and say, kigayin ana? And I saw somebody say a very interesting answer. He said, you know, there's a collective desire, certainly in America, but it's infiltrated. We have it in every part, and certainly in the religious world, to tear apart leaders. Because what nobody, like Winston Churchill said, we all want to be taught. Very few of us, we all want to learn. None of us are willing to be taught. There's something about authority that speaks to us and says, wait, why him and not me? Especially, you know, the Yid is taught from the beginning, each of us is a one-time event in creation. There never was anybody just like you. There never will be again anybody just like you. We've always said it, you know, when Chazal said this 1700 years ago, people derided it. They said it seems absurd. It's interesting that science, almost 2,000 years later, has come to the same conclusion, and they've said there are no two people who are alike. So if there's nobody really like me, why should I be listening to you? You have your opinion, and I have mine. And the answer is that we do need Shoftim, we do need Shoftim, but there is the desire to tear them apart. And that's very damaging, because we can't exist without authority of some type. Who will inspire you? How can you hear something profound if everybody is profane? You know, let me tell you, share with you a story. There was an attorney, he went to Harvard, a young man, he went to Harvard, and then he went to Harvard Law, and he was brilliant. He was the top of his class. And then he went to practice. First he practiced in New York. He didn't like New York. So he went to a city in the Midwest, and he went to a city in the Midwest, and when he came there, he tried this type of law, and then he realized that, you know who has really deep pockets? The insurance companies. So he started practicing medical malpractice, and he was fantastic. He won one award after the other, and a particular area that he found very profitable was malpractice for pregnancies, children that were born, and, you know, childbirth is very, you know, many things, unfortunately, in situations there are high-risk pregnancies. They can go wrong. There are breech deliveries. There are children whose oxygen is cut off. And he would love, and he was an actor. And when a child, there was a damage, he would get up in front of the jury, and he would wave his arms and speak and rhapsodize, tell stories. He was fantastic. Somebody once said, he said, what's a trial in the United States? A jury watching two people and decide who's a better actor. So he was fantastic. And he won victory after victory. Well, this man had a family, and his wife was expecting their fourth child. And he gets a call one day, and he says she was rushed to the hospital. Her water broke. It was an emergency. See, he dropped his practice. He got into his, you know, his Ferrari, ran to the hospital. He was very wealthy at this point from all his... He comes to the hospital, and they said, it's an extremely difficult, complicated childbirth, and we need a high-risk doctor. He said, so bring in the town's high-risk doctor. And they looked at him, and they said, there are none. He said, what do you mean there are none? He said, you put them all out of business. And the wife died. So sometimes when we tear apart authority, when we tell our children, you know, your teacher, your Rebbe, you think he knows how to learn? I remember him from school. He didn't. I was smarter. You know, I remember when he didn't understand this. And we tear apart authority. But what happens ultimately? The Torah says we need shaiftim. People need somebody of authority. Children need people of authority. The worst thing two parents could do is denigrate the other one because the child is the figure of authority in the house. You know, somebody came to Rav Palm, and he was a Rebbe in a high school. I spoke to the Rebbe himself, and this guy was a very good basketball player, and he taught 11th grade. So he came to Rav Palm, and he asked Rav Palm, can I play basketball recess time with the boys in my class? So Rav Palm took off his glasses, looked at him, and said, only if you're going to win. In other words, the boys needed authority. And if the Rebbe wouldn't win, it would deface the Rebbe. It wasn't good for their chinuch. When we knock our Rabbeim, when we knock our Rabbanim, you know what we're doing? We're doing the same thing that this doctor did, that this lawyer did, by suing all the doctors in town. Because when he needed them, there was nobody there. So, Shaiftim v'shaitrim tita l'chal b'sharecha. So Reb Nachman said, except for me. He said, there is no anava. It's to Rebbe died, he was batla hanava. But on the other hand, to the Rebbe, the Rebbe has to look at the Talmidim, they have to look at the teacher. He is the greatest anav. He is the greatest tzaddik. He is the person of authority that I can look up to, that I can be inspired by, etc. Okay, so again, next week we will be having on our show, we will have the Rosh Hashiva of the Mir, Rabbi Nissen Kaplan. We will also have Rabbi Usher Weiss, who will be speaking about DNA and halacha. Can you use DNA, those tiny, tiny, tiny little molecule cells, etc., to establish parenthood if there's a disagreement in the family? Can the father say, it's not my child? What about for agunis, etc.? For criminal reasons, would it be accepted? So we have two fascinating topics by two very brilliant, you know, Rabban, this time both in Eretz Yisrael, but again, we're very proud that this is an inter-global, a pan-global program. I look forward to speaking to you again next week. All the best. Headlines Radio, David Lichtenstein.